Special parsha this week, parsha Vayechi, it's the first chazak. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. It's the siyum of Chumash Bereishis. I never noticed this until today. If you look at the end of the parsha, at the end of every parsha, it always tells you how many pesukim there are, gives you simonim. Okay, and it also tells you how many parshas. I know there's something called the parsha psucha, and there's something called the Parsha Stuma. What is the Parsha Psucha? Parsha Psucha is where there's a section, and it begins, here, by side, we have it. Parsha Psucha is where the Parsha begins on the beginning of a line. And before, and the previous Parsha ends off in the middle of the line and allows at least a blind space of 9 empty letters. A Parsha Stuma begins at the end of the line, and the previous parsha ends off in the beginning of the line, so you have a gap in the middle of the line of 9 empty spaces. Like I always say that the parsha psucha is like a new chapter, and the parsha stuma is like a new paragraph. So we break up, we call Bereishis, Noach, Lech Lecha, Vayerech, Hayetzara. There are 13 parshios in the Chumash Bereishis. So this is the 13th week. Is that correct? 12. Sorry, 12. There are 12 parashios in Bereishis, so this is the 12th week from the beginning of the Torah. But in the biblical terms, in the Gemara, there's no such thing as a parasha. It doesn't talk about it. It goes maybe a sidra, a seder, a sidra. A parasha is either a parasha psucha or a parasha stuma. So at the end of the Chumash Bereishis, I don't know who wrote this. I'm sure we can find out who wrote this, but at the end, and every Chumash, they have over here these little ramazim. Skum Psuke the Sefer Bereishis, the total number of psukim of Sefer Bereishis is 1,534. Ach lad, a simon, whatever that means. There's all these different mnemonics and different calculations. The part that I want to focus on is what he says at the end of the Chumash Bereishis. It says, "Usidarav." Let me find the part I'm looking for over here. Okay, Minyan Hapesuchas. How many parashiyos are there in Chumash Bereishis? So again, there are two types of parashiyos. There's a Samach and a Mem, a parasha Stuma and a parasha Psucha. The number of pesuchos is shalosh v'arboim, 34. V'hasesumos, how many parshios sesumos are there? Shemayna v'arboim, 84. What is 84 plus 43? Hakol achas v'teshim parshios. Sadi aleph. And it gives a simon, 91. Chumash Bereishis has a grand total of 91 parshios. Okay, Tamar, you like numbers. 91 parshios. What did I say? I said 48. I said 48 and 43. Okay, 48 and 43 is 91. 48 and 43. It's the end of Chumash Bereishis. So this, whoever wrote this made a calculation that in Chumash Bereishis there is a grand total of 91 parshios. 48 of them are parashiyos stumois, and 43 of them are parashiyos psuchos. Okay? This week, many people in this room have begun to learn Masechta Megillah. Right? This is a, there are a lot of Dafyomi people here in this room, and made a simul Masechta Tainis and began to learn Masechta Megillah. What is the first Mishnah Masechta Megillah? Megillah Nikreis. The Megillah is read. Biyud Aleph, Biyud Beis, Biyud Gimel, B'yudalid b'tesvav. The Megillah can be read on day 11 of Chodesh Adar, either day 11, day 12, day 13, day 14, day 15. The very first Mishnah Masechta Megillah, and the first couple daf to explain what that means. If you live in a walled city, you're laying on day 15, a city that was walled from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. If you live anywhere else, you generally will lay on day 14. But if you live in a kfar, in a village, in a rural area where there aren't many shuls or many people that you don't have a large community, So you don't, and you don't know how to learn the Megillah, you need someone to learn for you. Chazal made arrangements that you can makdim, you can go into the villages, into the larger cities. And the larger cities were open for business for these people, usually on Monday and Thursday. So the result will be the people who live in the kfarim will can, there are situations, the Gemara goes through every possibility. All 7 days of the week, when the 14th day of Adar falls out on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, and if it falls out on Sunday, if the 14th day of Adar falls out on Sunday, then the people live in the kfarim, they will lay in the Megillah on the previous Thursday, which will then be the 11th day of Adar. Okay, I'm not going to go through the whole daf, everyone knows this, fine. So there's a very popular vart on this Mishnah. Again, the Mishnah says, Megillah Negreis, B'yud Aleph, B'yud Beis, B'yud Gimel, B'yud Dalet, B'yud Tesvav. Loi Kodon, V'loi Ocher. Is that the exact words? Not a day before, and not a day after. Exactly 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. If you add up 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, add up all those numbers, what do they equal?
65.
What does it mean? What is the number? What is the number? What is the number 60? What is before and what is after? See, I already forgot this part. I'm getting, you know what? I'm gonna have to stop milk because I already forgot the part. I forgot how the word goes.
10, 16, 26, and it did.
26, 65.
91.
Okay, that's the word. Thank you very much for reminding me. Loi kodem v'lo yoyser. The day before is 10. After is 16. 10 and 16 is 26. What is in the middle? What is 11, 12, 13, 14, 15? 65. What is 65 the gematria? Elohim. Is that correct? I'm sorry, what am I saying? I'm sorry, that's the same thing. Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. And what is 26 bigamatria? Yud K Vav K, 26. What is the difference between Aleph Dalid Nun Yud and Yud K Vav K? Yud K Vav K is the way Hashem's name is spelled in the Torah. Yud K Vav K. K I mean by a hey, two heys, and a yud and a vav is 26. That's the way it's spelled. How do we pronounce Yud K Vav K? Aleph Dalid Nun Yud, Adnos. That's the way we pronounce it. Adnos, verse, the way it's spelled. Ze shemi le'olam, v'ze zichri le'dor dor. This is what Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu at the burning bush. This is ze shemi. This is the way my name is to be spelled. Yud kei vav kei. V'ze zichri. But let me teach you the pronunciation. The pronunciation is going to be yud, is going to be aleph, dalet, nun, yud. When you add those two words together, ze shemi v'ze zichri, what is the total number? 91. So the drasha is, the Megillah is nikreis aleph, dalet, nun, yud, but it's not nikreis, it's not read yud, kei, vav, kei. What is the message regarding the Megillah? The message of the Megillah is read Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, the pronunciation. Loi pachos v'lo yoyser, but it's not read with Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. Okay, I thought I knew what I was going to say, but obviously I'm getting a little confused. But let's just take this idea for a moment to the side, but apply it to the parasha. But however, Chumash Bereishis is read Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, and Yud Aleph, Tesvav. And it's also read before and after. Chumash Bereishis stands in contrast to the Megillah. Because Chumash Bereishis has exactly 91 parashios. We have a book. The book of creation. The beginning, Bereishis. It's called in Chazal the Sefer HaYoshar, the book of the upright. The name of Bereishis is called after Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the Sefer, the Yesharim. the Sefer HaYashar. The Sefer HaYashar has a total of 91 chapters, 91 sections. That's what it says at the end. 91 is the number which brings together Yud Kei Vav Kei and Aleph Dalid Nun Yud. What does Yud Kei Vav Kei really represent? It represents Emuna. It represents things that are above our understanding. Okay, there are many interpretations of how you combine Midas Hadin, Midas Harachmim. Some will tell you that when you say Aleph Dalid Adnus, Adnus represents Midas Hadin. Yud Kei Vav Kei represents Midas Harachmim. But let's put that aside for now. I want to go in a different approach. Aleph Dalid Nun Yud is what you see is what you get. That's the way you pronounce it. You have on the parchment Yud Kei Vav Kei. Yud Kei Vav Kei is sacred. If a sefer puts Yud Kei Vav Kei on a piece of parchment, l'shem, first of all, there's a halacha. He must say, before he puts Yud Kei Vav Kei, he must say, l'shem kedushas Hashem. If a sefer, when he writes a sefer Torah, does not say, l'shem kedushas Hashem, when he puts down Yud Kei Vav Kei, the sefer Torah is pasul. It's mamish pasul. A lot of shilas are when a sefer, they come to rabbis, I'm not sure, I don't remember if I said l'shem kedushas Hashem when I wrote Hashem's name in the Sefer Torah. And because of this, there are sefer which what they do is when they begin to write the Sefer Torah, they make it tonight, every time I write Hashem's name in this Sefer Torah, it should be l'shem the sanctity of Hashem's name. And therefore, just in case, that's not an ideal thing to do, because you're supposed to do it right before you write Hashem's name, but b'diavad, if you do forget once upon a time to write Hashem's name, say l'shem kedushas Hashem, if you did make this condition before you wrote the Sefer Torah, b'diavad, it's good enough. It's okay, and the Sefer Torah is kosher. But if sefer goes any sefer, they'll tell them before they write Hashem's name, they say l'shem kedushas Hashem. Also, another halacha, it's mamash pasul, a sefer must go to mikvah. Before you write Yud Kei Vav Kei Hashem's name, you must go to the mikvah. If you don't go to the mikvah, the Sefer Torah is possible.
I think certain sefer write the Sefer Torah and leave it out.
They leave out Hashem's name, all the names of Hashem, and then they go to the mikvah, and then they write all the names of Hashem, L'shem, Kedushas, Hashem, and all the shemas of Hashem in one shot. They don't really do that anymore. I know all about this. Because it's not so good for the spacing. It's you lose the consistency in the writing. It's not a good idea. Today, the truth is the sefer very makpid. They go to the mikvah before they write anything in the Sefer Torah. And if they don't do so, then people are not going to want to buy the Sefer Torah.
They don't have to write it in order?
No, Sefer Torah does not need to be written in order. Only to fill in. Only, yes.
Even in the same.
Yes. 100%. 100%. Only to fill in and mezuzahs. Rabbi Yisai, we're running out of time. Only tefillin and mezuzos must be written in order. But when a person writes down Yud Kei Vav Kei, this is the holiest of the holy. This is the name of Hashem, the holiest name of Hashem. It has to be with Kedusha. It represents something that is above and beyond us. Rabbi Yisai, please. It's hard to compete. When you write down Yud Kei Vav Kei, you're coming in contact with something which is above and beyond our understanding. The sanctity is beyond. A sefer must go to mikvah. He must say l'shem kedushas Hashem. On the other hand, and it's so above and beyond, when we come to that those letters, we don't say any pronunciation of Yud Kei Vav Kei. We don't do any pronunciation. Harav Dr. Cohen is here, Baruch Hashem. He was giving a whole beautiful shiur on this, exactly that the whole discussion of the pronunciation of Yud Kei Vav Kei. We don't do that because we're not worthy of that. We don't relate to that. What do we do instead? We distill it and we dilute it to our level of Aleph Dalid Nun Yud. Now let's go back to Purim. Purim is a miracle. The whole essence of the miracle of Purim. That's the next holiday, right? That's the next holiday coming up, Purim. And that's the Masechta that many people haven't done this week, is a miracle of looking at the world and dealing with events as they unfold in front of us. Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. We don't see open, blatant miracles. Yud Kei Vav Kei represents L'mal L'miderech HaTeva. something that we really have no connection to. Aleph Dalet Nun Yun is practical Judaism. It's practical Judaism. It's like, okay, wake up in the morning, the sun rises in the east, it sets in the west, and you know, there are laws of nature, and there's a way to do things, al derech hateva, and you have to conform. Every day of the year is not Pesach, it's not Yitzias Mitzrayim with 10 makos, Kriyas Yamsuf, and Nisim v'Niflois. Nisim v'Niflois, a world that's l'malam derech hateva, in a spiritual sense, is Yud Kei Vav Kei. But we can't relate to that. We're only human beings. Every time we come to Yud Kei Vav Kei in the Sefer Torah, we pronounce it Aleph Dalet Nun Yud on our level. The essence of the miracle of Purim was just a collection of events. There was no thunder and lightning. There was no fireworks. Thank you. In the miracle of Purim, Purim was just an ordinary collection of events. This event happened, this event happened, this happened, this happened. It's just a collection of current events and how we accepted it, we dealt with it, and yet we were able to see behind these ordinary collection of events, Hashem was there. So when we lay in the Megillah, don't lay in the Megillah with assuming you're gonna see miracles. Oh, the story of Megillah. It was like Yitzias Mitzrayim. Moshe comes to Hashem, he gives him a stick, and the stick turns into a snake, and the snake swallows up all of the snakes of Paro. He then puts his hand into the water, and the water becomes blood. This is not the story of Purim. Purim is an ordinary collection of events, and it's for you to see under the cover that this ordinary collection of events, there's a Yud Kei Vav Kei there. Megillah Nikreis B'Yud Aleph, B'Yud Beis, B'Yud Gimel, B'Yud Dalet, B'Tesaf. 11 plus 12 plus 13 plus 14 plus 15 equals 65. 65 is B'Gematria, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. Loi Koidem, V'Loi Ocher. Don't lay the Megillah on day 10, and don't lay the Megillah on day 16. 16 plus 10 is 26. 26 is Yud Kei Vav Kei. The miracle of Purim is to see Hashem in Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Not to go look for Hashem in Yud Kei Vav Kei. To see Hashem in the ordinary, in the way that we can relate to Hashem. Chumash Bereishis is not the Megillah. We are concluding this week the Mikra of Chumash Bereishis, not the Mikra of the Megillah. The Mikra of Chumash Bereishis. Chumash Bereishis is not the Megillah. Chumash Bereishis is how many parshiyos, how many sections are there in Chumash Megillah? 91. What is 91? 91 just so happens to be 65 plus 26. 65 plus 26 equals 91. Chumash Bereishis is both of them together. It's Yud Kei Vav Kei, and it's Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. In Chumash Bereishis, there are blatant, open miracles that are l'mala miderech hateva. Creation is l'mala miderech hateva. Stories in the Torah of Avraham conquering the four kings, the five kings. Events that took place with Yosef, that threw him into a pit. It's a miracle he's alive. The Mabel, Noah. How could you fit all of the world's animals into one box? What's going on here? There are miracles. But there's also Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. The lessons of Chumash Bereishis are lessons that every single person can extract and apply to his ordinary existence in this world of seeing things through the lens of Teva. It's both. There's an emuna and a recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is l'mala miderach hateva. And there's musar and lessons of living with Hashem al derech hateva. And they go together. They go together. They're all intertwined. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The same Hashem who is Yudkei Vavkei, who does things l'mala miderach hateva, is Elokeinu. Well, we pronounce Hashem Elokeinu Hashem. We say it even twice. There's Hashem, but you can learn there many perushim as what it means. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Some will tell you Hashem Elokeinu is Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. The way we relate to Hashem today. Today, when someone says God, what you think about the Yam splitting? You think about Derech Hateva Tzipporim. Hashem Elokeinu. The way we relate to Hashem, we relate to Hashem in a very ordinary existence, nature. But there's also Hashem. There's also Hashem, not Elokeinu. Hashem in his exalted form. The way he appeared to the Avos, to Yotzei Mitzrayim, Lemala Miderech Hateva. Echad. It's the same God. The same God that can be Elokeinu for us today in Al Derech Hateva. Things are just follow the rules. Follow the rules. Don't think you're above and beyond the rules of nature. There's also Hashem. Just Hashem who is above and beyond. Echad. Zeh Shemi Li Olam. V'zeh Zichri Li Dar Dar. The two go together. Chumash Bereishis has 91 sections. It is the Tzeduf of Yudkei Vavkei and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Megillah Nikreis. Megillah Yom Tov of Purim is a Yom Tov to dwell upon seeing Hashem al derech hateva. Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Hesvav. 65 Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Loi Pachus v'lo Yoyser. Not 10 and 16. Not Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's not what Purim is about. But Chumash Bereishis is about appreciating both and appreciating how they blend all together. The stories, no one should make a mistake and think that the book of Bereishis is not for me. It's Maaseh Nisim. No, Chumash Bereishis is 91. There's Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud in there as well. But don't just look at it as a practical book because you're limiting Hashem's power. You're limiting the nitzchis of Klal Yisrael if you deny yourself the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in essence l'malam derech hateva. The book of Genesis has to bring together zeh shemi le'olam v'zeh zichri le'dor dor. That is Chumash Bereishis. It's one big shame that captures the essence of the pasuk. Okay, I want to go to another idea. Let's talk about the end of the parasha. Suddenly, I think there's an important point here. End of the parasha. They bury Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu has died. They have embalmed his body, whatever that means. Very strange principle to go and to suck out all the moisture and to fill it up with his body with some type of ingredients that will preserve his body, to embalm his body, if I'm saying that correctly. And they cry for him, they bring him to Egypt, they bring him to Canaan, Yosef has to get permission. You see, in those days, it was a red country. No one was allowed exit. Okay, they didn't. They had to all be vaccinated before they all went to Eretz Canaan. They weren't letting them in. And they had to make some exceptions. Para, okay, I make an exception, you can go. They went, they came back. And when they came back, the brothers noticed something is not right. They noticed that Yosef is not so nice anymore. When Yaakov Avinu was alive for those 17 years, Yosef was very kind and gracious. He hosted them, they ate their Shabbos sudos in his house. He was kind to them. And then when they come back from the funeral, something is not the same. And they're very scared. And Rashi says something very, very interesting. When they came back, it could be it's not even Rashi, it could be it's a Medrash, I don't remember, it was could be a sudas. One of the mafarshim goes gadol from just still to you outside. They write. They say lu yistim maybe Yosef. Lu maybe Yosef. He hates us. He hates us. He remembers what we did to him. He's now going to take revenge. When Yaakov was alive, derech eretz for his father, he was kind to us. But now we're afraid. And they come to him, they send the B'nai Bilhah, because he was very close with them, and they send him a message. They lied, Rashi says. Your father commanded before he died that you should forgive us and be good to us. And Yosef melts down, Chas v'Shalom, I'm not going to do anything to you, don't worry about it, I love you, you're my brothers. You thought you were trying to bring harm upon me, Hashem chashava l'toiva, l'man, in order to save you, don't worry, fine. Okay, we all know the story. Rashi says, what exactly triggered? I don't know if it's Rashi, it's a Chazal, I can't go look at this moment, but there's a Chazal, what exactly triggered the pachad in the hearts of the brothers? So Chazal say, on the way back, they passed Bashkocha Pratis, the pit in which the brothers many years ago threw Yosef into. Can you imagine that? What a Hashkocha Pratis. There are two stories like that in the sixth parasha. And Yaakov Avinu confesses to Yosef, what was pleased with Yosef, don't blame me for burying.
They said, Avicha Tziva.
Avicha Tziva was a lie, it was a lie, right? I'm just saying there are two stories about places in this week's parasha where Yaakov Avinu says to Yosef, don't blame me that I buried your mother on the road. It was necessary. The day will come when they will go into exile and they will just be Hashkocha Pratis pass this road. And it will give them the opportunity to be mispalel. And because of that tefillah, it'll be a different world. Yesh shachar lefula seich num Hashem v'shavu banim legvula. There's another Hashkocha Pratis story here. When they sold Yosef, why they threw him into a pit? There are a lot of pits. They could have come to Flatbush. We have a lot of pits. A lot of potholes in Flatbush. From all places, they sold him in a very unique pit, somewhere, in Eretz Canaan. Why was that pit? What was its suchus? Because when Yaakov Avinu, many, many years later, would die, and the whole Egypt, they would go to Canaan to bury Yaakov, they would have a team from the Secret Service, the best route, the safest route, satellite images, which the best way to go, and they're going to happen to decide to go down this certain road, which happens to be right opposite the pit. That pit. Bahashkocha, Hashem planned this. At the time of the Mechira, they should throw him into this pit. Because many years later, when they're going to go bury Yaakov Avinu, they're going to pass that pit. And what happened when they passed that pit? Yosef says, stop the limousine. Stop the car. I have to get out. Mr. Viceroy, it's not safe. You're in hostile territory here. We don't advise the Viceroy of Egypt to leave the safety of the beast. Bulletproof armored vehicle. We don't advise you. I don't care what you advise me. Open the door. I'm getting out of my car. I have to go do something. They open the door. The entourage stops. All the brothers are looking. They lift up their eyes. Lo and behold, that's the pit they threw Yosef into. What does Yosef do? He gets down and he makes a bracha. Baruch atah Hashem, Elohim Elohimu, she'asa li nes b'makom hazeh. The brothers, they answer amen, and then mole pachad. Uh-oh. He remembers what we did to him. He didn't forget. Hashem brought this all about. He should remember. We're now in trouble. When they go back to Egypt, every little thing that he does, they're super duper paranoid. He's out for blood. That's what it says in the Chazal. I gave you the 21st century version. Well, that's what it says in the Chazal. Question. What's the big deal? Come on. Big deal? Big deal. So he passed the pit. He gets out. That's the halacha. Yosef is an ish halacha. Right? He's a man of halacha. That's the halacha. So he makes the bracha. Big deal. Big deal. What's all worked up? They're all worked up. That's what you're supposed to do. If you come to a place where you were a miracle, you were subject to a miracle, he could have died there. They wanted to kill him. And there were pits and there were scorpions and who knows what, and he survived. It could have ended a lot worse. So he made it. What's the big deal? So I want to suggest to you a chiddush. There's another halacha. Let's go tackle learn the halacha. You know what the halacha really is? And we do this, we mamash, we discuss this in the shir a number of times, different ways. When let us say, for example, a person merits 5 miracles in his life. He was zeicha to a miracle in Australia. He was zeicha to a miracle in North Korea. He was zeicha to a miracle in Egypt. And he was zeicha to a miracle in Flatbush. That's a 4 or 5, whatever it is. Whatever, I can't count. And one day he happens to be in Flatbush, and he happens to pass the street where an open miracle happened. Oh, stop the car. I have now an obligation to make a bracha. The halacha states that if you come to your makom in Flatbush where you experience the miracle and you make a bracha, b'shem malchus, you know what you're supposed to say? Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech ha'olam. She'asa li neis b'makom hazeh in Flatbush. And in North Korea, and in Australia, and in, what I say, New Zealand, and in whatever, and in the Bronx Zoo. All, when you mention the miracle that happened to you in this makam, the halacha demands, it demands that you are also mazgir all of the miracles you experienced in life. This makam is just a trigger. This is the ikar, because this is the makam. But if you did merit other miracles, you have to mask all the other miracles. We explained this, you said this time, the Farshim explained why it's so critical to recite the Mo'oz Tzur. The miracle of Hanukkah is the miracle of the Nitzachon of Klal Yisrael over the Yevonim. They are Dalid Malchias. There's Malchus Bavel. There is Malchus Paras Modai, Malchus Yavon. And Golus Edom, we have not yet finished with Edom. So when we, Hanukkah, thank Hashem for the miracle, she'asa nisim l'avoseinu bayamim mohem, and we celebrate the Nitzachon, our survival over the Yevonim, that triggers an obligation to thank Hashem also for surviving Bavel, for surviving Paras u'Modai, and our hope and yearning to survive Edom as well. That's the halach. That is Shulchan Aruch. That is not a drush. That's Shulchan Aruch. When a person experiences multiple miracles, and you come to a location where you experience one miracle, it triggers an obligation, not just thank Hashem for the miracle you experienced over here, but the miracles you experienced your entire life in all of the different places. And we do that on a communal level, on Chanukah with the Mosur, and we do that on Pesach, in the piyutim in Nirtza. When you say, after you say chasal, it's sidur pesach kil chasai. Okay, when you say, after you say chasal, and then you say moadir, echemir, all of those piyutim, most of those piyutim dwell upon all the other miracles that Klal Yisrael experienced. The piyutim of what we say after the seder is equivalent to the mo'osur of what you say when you light the Hanukkah candles. Asher Haini, what you say on Purim, is equivalent to the same type of function. You mentioned many miracles. Because that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. This is not a Chassidish of art. This is Shulchan Aruch. Now, here's the question. Yosef, how many miracles did he experience in his life at this point in time? Well, he experienced the miracle of surviving his brothers. His brothers wanted to kill him, right? If he went to the pit, he could have died right then and there. In Egypt, they took him down into Egypt. What did they do to him? They threw him into a pit. They put him into Potiphar. They gave him to Potiphar to be the administrator, to work there, to be a slave. And then, and we had then he rose up in power. Even that was a miracle, just to survive being a servant in the home of Potiphar. And then came Ashes Potiphar. Mm-hmm. And she came out against him with a ferocity and a campaign. Nothing worse than what we've seen in America. They came out against him with such a bilble like he couldn't even believe. And al derech hateva, he should have been killed. Solve all the problems. They could have done it. And he survived. He survived. He became the Mishneh LeMelech. It's not a miracle. So let me ask you a shaila. If Yosef stops the procession, the entourage, the traveling, going back from Canaan back to Mitzrayim, and he says to the driver, stop the car, I have to get out and make a bracha. Everyone wants to see, what is Yosef doing? What bracha should Yosef make? Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. She'asa li neis b'makom hazeh, and she'asa li neis in Egypt. I survived Potiphar. I survived all of the hardships of Egypt. That's what Shulchan Aruch demands Yosef say. All the brothers are listening very carefully to his bracha. And guess what? He didn't say it. He only said, She'asa li neis b'makom hazeh. What? You left out the other miracle of your life. Your survival in Egypt. That's even a greater miracle. In Shulchan Aruch it says that when you thank Hashem for one miracle, you have an obligation to thank Hashem for all the miracles. Why didn't you thank Hashem for the miracle in Egypt? So you know the brothers concluded? It must be he doesn't view his survival in Egypt to be a miracle. It must be he views his life in Egypt to be his own success. When he was by Yaakov Avinu, dealing with the brothers, knew they were powerful people. They could have killed him. That was a miracle. But now in Egypt, Koichi the Oitzim Yadi Osli Achayel Hazeh. This is my koyach. I got through this. This is my koyach. That was the pachad of the brothers. If Yosef HaTzadik would have made the bracha, here, and Hashem did for me miracles in Egypt, the brothers would say, look at this man, Yosef. He is a person that lives with Hashem. Wherever he goes, he sees Hashem. He saw his survival with Hashem when he was by his father, Yaakov Avinu, and he saw that in Egypt, Hashem was with him. Hashem Tzilcha, Hashem Zayadiminecha, he's your shadow, he's your right hand. We have nothing to be afraid about, to be afraid of. When you live with people who are religious and believe in God and have some morals, he's not going to harm us. We're his brother. He's our brother. He's not going to harm us. But they were terrified in the fact that Yosef is not acknowledging his success in Egypt to be from, at least not publicly, in his bracha, he's not saying the end of the bracha.
How do we know what bracha means?
It says the Fish Mesh. It says the Mesh. I think if I remember, it's Das Zekanin Mibale Atoises. You look it up in the Pasuk, Lu Yisameinu, and in the Kroos Gedolos, Lu Yisameinu, so it's the Fish Mesh. Maybe I'm making him say, maybe Rashi says it. I don't
it doesn't
remember.
Have to be that. Just the one bracha that Nes B'Makam Hazeh means that being saved from the brothers was a mess.
But that's the problem. So what's the
own? So that's why the brothers suspected.
So I am. That's my thesis. That's my question. The Parsha Pshat is Lu Yistamein. He's going to hate us. Why is?
Right,
why were they so terrified? So it says explicitly in the Medrash, and this Medrash is quoted by the Daz Zikain the Mibale HaTaisis. They got any Mikros Kedolos. And the art scroll is Bamish on the Pasuk. I saw it this morning in the art scroll on the Pasuk. I don't remember if I saw it in Rashi or I saw it in the Daskin.
You're learning the Drash because he didn't say this.
What he didn't say!
Yeah.
No, I'm learning.
Enough that he said the first Nes, because what you're saying is
the first Nes.
How
much time elapsed
since it's right? God saved me from.
He was now 17 years later. Yaakov was 17 years, and he was 22 years away. So 17.
It was 26 years.
But how much time elapsed since he left from Mitzrayim to go bury and come back?
Very quickly, very quickly.
How often do you have to say the bracha?
It wasn't 30 days.
There you go.
He never left Mitzrayim, Yosef. This is the first time he came to this place.
So it's for this place he had to make the bracha.
But that's the halacha. The halacha is whenever you come to a place where you witness the miracle, you have to make
but
the
bracha. Maybe the halacha is...
No, that's not the halacha.
Just was in the other place and I was...
Doesn't matter. In the other place, you have to say this other place as well.
But he's there within 30 days. He sees it every day.
So he doesn't make a bracha.
He doesn't have to be masculine.
Right, exactly. He does that. But wouldn't it make a difference? Let's make believe a person has a miracle in North Korea and in Africa.
Then yes.
He goes to Africa. What does he do? I make a bracha in Africa. When I make the bracha in Africa, I mention also North Korea. When I go to North Korea, I mention also Africa.
But if I just came from North Korea and I've been living there...
Doesn't matter. You have to still mention North Korea. That's not the halacha.
I don't know.
Yes, I'm telling you the halacha. If you're living in North Korea and then you come to Africa and you make a bracha of a nes, you say Africa and North Korea, even though you were there for 25 years.
Okay, that's what I'm saying.
That's the halacha. The halacha demands that you say both. So my question is, simple, you learn, the brothers got, the daz that came, the Baal HaTosfos, as the Ramash says, the reason why the brothers were terrified was because they came to the pit and he made the bracha. That's what he made the bracha. So I'm asking you, so what? So what, he made the bracha? Big deal, he made the bracha.
I can give an answer to that also.
What?
I can give an answer to that also. That he's making the bracha in a place that a miracle happened to him that we caused, that we caused a miracle to happen. Right. That would scare me. That would scare me.
Okay, you're saying a different shah. You're saying a different drush. Fine. I appreciate what you say. But let me say my piece. Yaakov Avinu Yosef made a bracha. She'osali neis b'mokoyim hazeh. So the Al Zakim says, the brothers, that's what triggered the terror. Why? So what? So he made the bracha. That's what he's supposed to do. Isn't that what you're supposed to do? So what are the brothers so upset about? He was kind to them for all these last 17 years. He didn't harm a fly. So they're so, what do they care about? He made the bracha. No big deal. So I'm suggesting to you, the reason why they were terrified that he made the bracha was because it's what he did not say in the bracha. Because the bracha should have been, he did a miracle for me in this place, and he did a miracle for me in Egypt. That's what the bracha lahalach is supposed to be. And the das, the kain, the balad, his chosesh, that he didn't say that. All he says the bracha was, she'osali neis b'mokoyim hazeh. But in Shulchan Aruch it says that when you make the bracha, she'osali neis b'mokoyim hazeh, you're supposed to also be coiled with it, the miracles of all over the world. And he didn't do that. He didn't do that. Oh, they interpreted that to mean that Yosef didn't view his survival in Egypt to be a miracle. That he, Yosef, in his mind, here it was a miracle, but the last years in Egypt, this wasn't a miracle.
So let's back up on that. Do we really believe Yosef?
Well, the facts speak for itself.
The Rashi says, I need the tip guy.
We're dealing with Dakos Shabbat. They realize this is the pocket. If you don't believe that your survival in Egypt was a nace, we're terrified. Because you're not the person we thought you are. And if you think your koyach in Mitzrayim is not a nes, you didn't make the bracha from Mitzrayim also, then who knows? You're a different type of person. You're not living in a mindset that you're going b'hashkachas Hashem. And then who knows where our future lies? The day you'll change on us in the moment's notice that our father died, you'll harm us. Okay, I see the Olam is not so happy with his vart. It's okay. I thought this was very chavav to me. I have no complaints. Okay.
I can't believe that Yosef would not be the tzaddik that he was. If he really was supposed to.
Okay. I want to tell you two more quick verloch. Running out of time. Two more quick verloch.
That's the answer.
In the beginning,
There is no answer. Why did he do it?
So why did he do it? So I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer to that point. I am suggesting this was the suspicion that he did not mention that my existence in Egypt is a miracle. It bothered them very much. If you don't view your existence in Egypt to be a miracle, then we're in trouble. We're in trouble. When you start thinking that you're the Bala boss,
why didn't he do it?
I don't know the answer. I don't have an answer to that part of the Vart. Why, Taka, did he not do it? I don't have an answer to that part. But, okay. You know, yeah.
Okay. Maybe the answer is because when you're dealing, when somebody is a tzaddik and somebody is a rasha, so of course Hashem is going to help out the tzaddik. So Yosef was dealing with Rishayim and Egypt, so he thought.
But it's still a miracle. It's still a miracle.
It's a miracle, but it's less of a miracle because Hashem is going to, of course, be at your side.
Okay, we'll talk about it. Well, I have to think about it. We're running out of time. Okay, we'll talk about it later.
It's not so clear cut.
Okay, let me think about it. Okay, let me think about it. I want to show you two more very short, just to touch upon two things. Number one, everyone knows that the Nida of Avraham Avinu is Chesed. The Nida of Yitzchak is, there are different terms, Gevura, Din, Avoda. And the Nida of Yaakov is Emes. We commonly view these three to be mutually exclusive. Chesed is chesed. Din is din. Emes is emes. There are different types, there are different natures, different personalities, different approaches to life. Yaakov Avinu says something in the beginning of this week's parasha, which I feel Derech Drush changes everything. Yaakov says to Yosef, I'm going to die. And I want you to bury me in Eretz Kanaan, in the Ma'aretz Machpelah. And I don't trust you. I want you to swear to me. Okay, part of the conversation, that's not the main part. The part of the conversation, he says to Yosef, V'yosiso imodi chesed ve'emes. Chesed and emes. And Rashi there says there's different types of chesed. There's ordinary chesed. Ordinary chesed, it seems that you're expecting some reciprocation. And then there's what's called the chesed shel emes. Chesed she'oisim im ha'mesim she'enoi mitzapeh l'shum gemul. There's no anticipation of payback because the person is dead. He can't do anything for you. Person is not alive. And you do a kindness for him, you can't expect anything. He's not alive. What can he do for you? So that's the purest form of chesed. Chesed shel emes, where there's no expectation, no anticipation, no hope that there will be anything coming back to you in return from the person who was the subject of your kindness. I want to use this term as a ha'ara that perhaps our understanding of the midos of Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov can be viewed in a different dimension. Whereas we ordinarily think there's something called chesed, gevur, and emes, perhaps we can say no, there's only chesed. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the Pasuk says, Oilam Chesed Yibane. The Ramchal used this Pasuk to be the principle, to be the foundation, the Even Shesia of creation, of everything in this world. Why? Why did Hashem create this world? Why? The age-old question. The Ramchal, and we all live with this Yisoid, is something which every single person in this world, Jew and non-Jew, lives with. Hashem created this world to do kindness. Olam Chesed Yibane. Hashem built this world in order that Hashem can use this world as a means of Hashem bestowing His kindness upon His creatures. Okay, and there's a whole big Torah what that means exactly. Chesed is everything. Avraham Avinu, the Amud HaChesed. Yitzchak is not the Amud of Yira. Yitzchak is a different type of chesed. It's a chesed shel gevur. Why would I want to say that? Because Yaakov over here says it beferish with regard to himself. Don't ever say about me, I am the Ish HaEmes. No. I am chesed. I'm an amicable of the Zayda. The Zayde is chesed, I'm chesed. The only contribution that I have given this world is my chesed is a chesed shel emes. There are three types of chesedim in this world. There is chesed shel chesed, chesed shel gevura, and is chesed shel emes. Not chesed, gevura, emes. Avraham Avinu, what does it mean chesed shel chesed? Avraham Avinu did chesed. For what purpose? So there should be more chesed. Avraham Avinu, he took a person into his house. Come! Hotel Isha. 5-star hotel. Come! Give food, drink, spa, face all the different amenities they have in the hotels. Time to leave. You're not going nowhere. You gotta pay. Pay. Who said pay? It's America. Everything is free. What are you talking about pay? You got a bench. You have to thank Hashem. You have to commit yourself to Hashem. I think I did for you chesed for nothing? You think I'm doing this for nothing? I'm doing chesed? So you should do chesed. The avoid of Avraham Avinu was chesed, not chesed shalemes. No way. Avraham Avinu was not a chesed shalemes person. He did chesed, so someone else should do chesed. There's an expectation. There's a price to pay. I'm going to do chesed, and my expectation is you will also do chesed. How will you do chesed? You're going to bench. You're going to thank Hashem. You're going to do chesed to your fellow men. You're going to learn from me. You're going to follow my ways. What was Yitzchak? Yitzchak had a little kaddishol by the name of Esav. Esav was going to be machir of the world. He was a rasha, a rotzeach, a menoyif, an oyved of avodah zarah. A real troublemaker. You ever see the little rascals? Esau was a real, real troublemaker. Yitzchak decided, against the will of his wife, Rivka, we're giving the brachos to Esau, to the kaddishol, the rotzeach, the menoyif. We're going to do with Yitzchak chesed. We're going to give him all the brachos. You know why? To Esau. You know why? It will hold him back. It will temper his midah of Churban. It was a chesed of gevura. I'm not expecting him to go be good. I'm doing chesed to prevent him from doing ra.
That's why he's punished.
Yaakov's punished was a dinah. She was a back. You have to analyze each case. It was a chesed of gevura. I'm doing chesed for a purpose. Not that there should be more chesed. I'm doing chesed to shut down the ra. Gevura dig of chesed. That's the whole meat of Yitzchak. That's why I wanted to give the brachas to Esav. I want to do chesed with Esav. Not because I expect Esav now to become a Talmud Chacham. At least it will temper his wickedness and prevent his evil nature from being mach of the world. Yaakov came along and said, there's a new chesed. And that's chesed for the sake of chesed. Not that there should be more chesed. Not that the chesed should be effective as a barrier to temper ra. Chesed shel emes. Chesed just for the sake of doing chesed. No expectations of anything. There's a chesed shel chesed. There's a chesed shel gevura, and there's a chesed shel emes. The osis, that's a sign. I'm just going to be meramis. The osisa imodi Yaakov Avinu, he coined a new term. What is this term that Yaakov Avinu coined?
You can't swear him into it. Either he does it.
No, the swearing was for. I'm just using this as a springboard. Yaakov Avinu invented a new term. If Yaakov said these words that capture the essence of who he was, he's being maspid himself. He's about to die now. Yaakov is about to die. He's about to die. So Yaakov says, let me tell you what you should say by my funeral. I'll give you the speech. Here's the speech. This is the eulogy you will deliver for me at my funeral. You say about me, I contributed to the world the midah of chesed shel emes. My zedeh, he was chesed shebechesed. My tata was chesed shebegvura. And I, my contribution is Ches Yishalemes. Okay, last short vart. In this week's parasha, Yaakov Avinu is disappointed twice. Severely disappointed. Twice. What happened twice? He osvu v'yagidu lechem eis asher yikre v'achesem. Kindalach, come, come, surround me. What a beautiful scene. I'm sure there's a lot of paintings. The scene of Yaakov Avinu about to die, telling the Kindalach, come, I'm going to tell you the Ketz HaYamin. What happens? Happens? The Shekhinah goes away. Shekhinah goes away. He accuses them. There's someone here in this room who is a sinner. There's a Rasha in this room here. He's severely disappointed at his children. That's number one. Number two, Yaakov is sick. Hinei avicha chayle. Emergency. Who comes running? Yosef. With who? Ephraim and Menashe. Tata, don't leave the world until you give my children a bracha. Okay, bring them near me. He's about to give the bracha. Rashi. Wait a minute. Who are these people? The Shekhinah has left me. These people here that you brought me, they're Rishonim. So Rashi says, what's going on here? Who's coming from these people? I can't give a bracha to these people. Who are these people? Twice in one parasha, Yaakov Avinu is about to perform, about to go forward, and he is severely disappointed. He is disappointed in his children, and he is disappointed in his grandchildren. Hello, daughter, no? What's the defense? Call in the lawyers. What's the defense? How did his children defend themselves to his satisfaction? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Yaakov Avinu says, I'm satisfied. Baruch Shem Kivoy Malchuso Yalom Boy. When Yaakov Avinu was disappointed by his grandchildren, what was the defense? Bozeh, their mother. I married, they come from a product of a home. Look, here's the ksuba. Here's the ksuba. Asher nosan li elokim bozeh, Rashi, herolo shtar erusin, and the ksuba. I married Osnas Bas Potifera with a shtar, with a legal marriage document, and I gave her a ksuba.
What's he doing with the ksuba?
What?
What's he doing with
the ksuba? He borrowed it from his wife. Good kasha. Bozeh. He went to his wife, Osnas. You know, that's a very good question. The question of that you just said a mouthful. Because the painting of Rembrandt, there's a painting of Rembrandt of Yaakov Avinu giving the brachos to Ephraim and Menashe. And in the picture, there is a woman. Who is the woman? So the assumption is a lot of Torah on this. My cousin, Rabbi Dr. Meir Yaakov Soloveitchik, has a lot of Torah on this. The picture is very problematic for many, many reasons. Very problematic. There are a million things, and who knows? You can't really know anything about these things. But it opens up a very interesting question: what is she doing there? Where Osnas? That's his wife, Yosef's wife. So Osnas Bas Potifera. You need the ksuba. She has the ksuba. Okay. She came along. Bozeh. Nosan liyolokim. Bozeh. Bozeh.
She didn't trust him to be alone.
Okay. Bozeh. The ksuba. The marriage. What is the ksuba all about? They come from a good home. So this is a very interesting insight. That people all in life, very often you find people that are very disappointed in their children. Okay? And they're disappointed in their grandchildren. You shouldn't say that, chas v'shalom. But rather, what should you try to nurture in your children, not to be disappointed, and what should you try to nurture in your grandchildren? Not to be disappointed. So this week's parasha tells you the goals. The goals for your children are, they should know, they should have a depth and appreciation of what it means. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Adam Lamokai. Make sure your children are religious. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu. That's the goal. Because when the children told their father, Father, you may be disappointed. It may be that we're not living up to your expectations. But Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, he was satisfied. No more. That's enough. When it came to his grandchildren, what gave him satisfaction? Okay, this not, you're not the way you turned out. I had dreams that my grandchildren would be X, Y, and Z. Grandpa or dad, don't be disappointed. What gave him satisfaction? They come from a good home. They come from a good home. Father, I'm married. There's not a single parenthood. I come, I have a wife, Osnas, and we have a shtar erisin and a ksuba. The ksuba means, the ksuba represents the principle that it's a good marriage. It's a solid home. The grandchildren, the hope, the goal, at least the goal in grandchildren, is grandchildren come from a good home. And children, they're coming from your home, obviously. The goal is Jewish education. I mean, we have Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Isn't these are two major disappointments in the life of Yaakov Avinu. Obviously, that's a lot more can be said, and obviously, I leave it to you for your brilliance today in the shiur over here. The Olam Avinu came with these incredible chidushim, but it's just maybe the ha'ara is better than the answer. The ha'ara is two major disappointments. He was disappointed in his children, and he was disappointed in his grandchildren. The response that gave him satisfaction for his children was Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What gave him satisfaction in not being disappointed in his grandchildren was they come from a good home. They come, I have a wife, Osnas. I gave her a ksuba, which means that it's a solid marriage built on trust and guarantees. And that alone is enough for you, the grandfather, to be satisfied. And Yaakov, you're right. Asher no sali lekin bozeh, there's nothing more to discuss. No more complaints. Okay, Rabbi Isai, have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you.
Yeskadar Arav, Yeskadar Ashmei Rabbah, Lord of the Lord, to receive you, with what to say, pray you from the Yomei, from the faith of the faith Israel, by the Lord, is my career, you will make. I'm going to say,